In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. In today's gospel reading, we hear about the disciples of John who were baptizing according to the baptism of repentance. And then there rose a dispute. How is the one that has baptized, the one who was baptized by John, is now baptizing a different baptism? Because, of course, John, in the eyes of the people, is the original. He is the one who was starting this mission of baptism. So how is it that the one who was baptized by his hands now has a baptism of a higher authority for the people? And so, of course, one of the famous verses that we read about in today's gospel is that he must increase and I must decrease. And so I want to reflect on what this was for John. How was it that, what life did he live that was a constant reflection of him decreasing and Christ increasing in his life? It was very easy for St. John to be considered the Christ. He was already being called the Christ, being considered the Christ. And of course, this was maybe a constant temptation that is bombarding him, how much he was revered. But of course, it was, as we see from the life of St. John, that this was something easily not to be convinced of such thoughts. And of course, when all of this comes from the people, and then the people come to him and start asking questions and having disputes among each other, then he might find times of confusion, times of loneliness, that he is obsolete. And of course, these are appropriate feelings that we have when we are decreasing. But not in all cases that when we decrease means that Jesus is increasing. It just means that what it is that I am thinking of or that I'm reflecting on, I realize that whatever I am doing has an end. But there are certain examples that John gives us in order for Christ to actually increase as we decrease or as John decreases. And the first is awareness of capability. Awareness. As we said, that John, he easily could have taken on the title of Christ, that this was something that was already bombarding him. And that's why John said, I must decrease for the sake of the people, for the sake of clarity. He didn't say, okay, Jesus should increase and I should decrease. There was no gray area. It was that I must decrease and he must increase. And so he was fully aware of the status that was manifesting towards him. He knew what he would be capable of gaining from the people. Even in the Old Testament, Joseph was fully aware of the possibilities that were presented to him. Even in the lives of the martyrs, many times when we read from the Synaxarium and we read about the martyrs, before they die, the governor or whoever is persecuting them says, listen, I will give you a lot of land. I will give you authority. I will give you an area to rule over if you simply worship the idols. So in all cases, the person is completely aware of that which is possible to gain in the worldly sense. So in order for God to increase, there has to be something to decrease. Something or someone has to give. And if I'm not aware of that which I am in need of decreasing, then God cannot increase in my life. So if John didn't have this presented to him, that he is even considered greater than Jesus, then what is it that he has to decrease, if he knows that what he is sacrificing is worldly gain for the sake of truth. And so he teaches us that there must have been a sense of reflection that we can all learn from. Maybe John, being an ascetic, had maybe a lot more time to do so, but nonetheless, it's something that is important for us to dedicate time towards reflection, knowing what we are capable of gaining in this world: fame, power, authority, attention, and so forth. And the most obvious way that shows St. John's desire to decrease in all aspects of his life is that he is content and was always content with who he is. And he didn't try to be what he was not. If we look to even the preaching style of the disciples and the apostles compared to even St. John the Baptist, St. John the Baptist, when he would baptize and he would minister, he tended to do so in small groups, in secluded areas, not necessarily in the big cities like maybe what St. Peter and St. Paul had done. And so one would think that how is there in God's wisdom that if you're sending the forerunner, the one to preach the coming of Jesus Christ, you're going to send someone who doesn't like to be around a lot of people? And so, and of course we know St. John wasn't necessarily the most social, but God on many occasions, he teaches us not to look to just the practical characteristics which are needed to do anything. Even we think about such characteristics when we parent or in our marriages or positions at work or which school I'm going to go to. All of these things, we have ideals for how each of these things are going to play out or how they should play out. And this is maybe how we sometimes see evangelism, how we should look to St. John of, well, in God's eyes, it's different than in our eyes of, shouldn't you have picked maybe St. Peter to be the forerunner? And we focus a lot on executing everything so that we reach those milestones, so that everything plays out the way that they make sense to play out. And what guided John and Joseph from the Old Testament, what guided them was not the things that we would think would make them successful. It wasn't on their mind of how do I go to the next step, but for them it was, who am I serving? And how do I serve him with my whole heart? Even when we look to Joseph, everyone, it was without a doubt that God was with him. And this is what we read, that Joseph, God was with him. And it wasn't that Joseph pulled through the ranks, but that he did whatever God had guided him to do. Certainly having guidelines for things or practical advice for all these things in our lives, they're good things and much needed for sure. But sometimes our focus becomes, how do I achieve these things? How do I have this particular end goal? Versus what does God want for me regarding these things? We are supposed to work hard in everything that we do, but at what point are we working too much? At what point are we exhausting ourselves too much in that I can't actually let God do something, that I can't allow God to reveal himself in my life or his will in the things that I do? So at what point are we just constantly increasing and Jesus is constantly decreasing in our lives? How many times have, you know, maybe we have applied for jobs, and instead of just leaving it to God, you know, we find out who the manager is on LinkedIn or something, we stalk them, or we send letters to them and we say, I love your company, even though probably you don't even know the company, never even heard of them before. And we do this because it's like, what steps can I take to just get the job? But what if this isn't what God has set for me? How many times have maybe our children have acted up, however old they are, and our immediate response is, okay, we need to find a therapist because my child is just done. I'm just done. And John, if we look at for an example in his life, that he was careful not to act too quickly. He was careful not to act too quickly, not to act too aggressively. But he wanted God to guide him in everything. And we see this, that when the disciples came and disputed about the disciples of Jesus Christ, he didn't say, listen, leave me alone and go to Jesus because I told you he is the one and our baptism is phasing out and we have a new baptism now, so go. He wasn't very direct with them. Why? Because he knew that they needed a little bit of time, that they needed a little bit of softness in order to begin to see who Jesus Christ was and who John was called to be as well. So he was very patient with them. Because John knew that everything that he was doing was by the hand of God or through the hand of God, then he knew that everything would be completed by the hands of God. And so sometimes we have to take this step back to allow God to increase and for myself and my desires to decrease. When we're content with what God has given us and what he has not given us, then we can be free. We can be more free to watch God's work in our lives. And the reward we see from such a desire to decrease, we see that John was the first to see, as close as it can get, the revelation of the Trinity. When he was in his womb, in his mother's womb, he leaped for joy. And John has always been ready to hear the voice of the Lord. Even in today's gospel, we read, you yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. So he who has the church is Jesus Christ. But the friend of the bridegroom, speaking about himself, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So John is waiting. He's constantly standing and waiting to hear the voice of the bridegroom, to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, who is the bridegroom of the bride, who is the one, the bridegroom of the church. And so all these moments he experiences joy because his work is always focused on the kingdom, focused on grace and mercy, focused on the new covenant, the fulfillment of the law, the start of reconciliation. There's always been a synergy between St. John and Jesus Christ. And this is the same synergy that we ourselves are called to, that it is Jesus. He cannot save us without us, and we cannot save ourselves without Jesus. And so this became the greatest focus for St. John, above everything else. And this is why Christ himself, when he spoke about St. John the Baptist, he said, he is the greatest among women. The greatest among women. But even the greatness of John doesn't compare to the greatness of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, he says this about John. He says that he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. He who is in the kingdom of heaven is greater, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. So despite his holiness, despite everything, it is the kingdom of heaven that we are seeking after. And it is the kingdom of heaven that is a glory greater than even the holiest in this world. And so, what can I do today to decrease? One is to accept the things that are imposed in my life. those things which are imposed on us, like Joseph, what was imposed on him was that he was abandoned by his family, by his brothers. Or that John, what was imposed on him, maybe as at an early age, that he was living in the wilderness, that this is the life that, even by his own will, from the time that he was in his mother's womb, that he accepted this calling. And so, yet none of these things, even they, yes, in many ways they affected them at a personal level, but still what was above them was doing the will of God. They waited to allow God to be glorified much later, with even the effects of that which was imposed on them. There's one saint who says, "I decide to choose what I have not chosen. I decide to choose what I have not chosen." So sometimes when we take a step back and we allow God to work in our lives, even the things that are imposed on us or the things that are not imposed, yet we take a step back and we allow God to work and to show us what His will is for me. Maybe with at least one thing in our life today, one thing that we can think about right now that is in our life that requires patience, and it is exhausting me or it is exhausting my family. Take a step back and wait for God to do something. Instead of trying to act quickly and take it by force, take a step back and see what God has in store. And then the last is to self-reflect on how God dwells in you and how you seek to cooperate with Him. To reflect on those things, not to reflect on who you wish you were. I wish I was many things. I wish I had different characteristics. But if I spend so much time on something that maybe isn't God's will, then I waste my time. I don't actually get to benefit from that which God is using me as a vessel. I don't get to benefit from such grace. Maybe we can take time to reflect more on how God dwells in me and how I seek to cooperate Him. May the Lord increase in our lives through His presence, His word, and our desire to decrease for our salvation. To Him be the glory both now and ever and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.